You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. I'm Richard Pollock. Drew Mandel was attending the game as a fan, as well as Michael Remus, who not only attended the game as a fan, but also was on a kiss cam. So it's been an exciting day here at MTS Center. Winnipeg Jets face off against the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks got the better of the Winnipeg Jets 6-3. Really a tale of, the entire game really came down to talent, and the Chicago Blackhawks just have superior talent to the Winnipeg Jets. That was apparent throughout the entirety of tonight's game. Many shifts resulted in a game of keep away, with the Blackhawks just controlling the puck, both in the offensive zone, the neutral zone, and any other zone out there. I mean, it really was a dominating performance. Let's go through the goals, break it down to make sure that, you know, we give you everything you need here in terms of what happened tonight. You know, the Jets didn't start off too badly. They got some good chances the Hawks got some good chances, on the power play, and then the Jets created a chance off of Brian Little turnover, and Little, you know, missed that chance based on a Corey Crawford poke check. But overall, you know, the Jets weren't really controlling the puck very much in the first period, and the result, you know, there was only one goal, and that was by Chicago. It was by Patrick Kane on the power play. And the Hawks' first power play unit with Kane and with Taves and with Keith and Patrick Sharp is just so dominant in terms of skill level. And Kane and Taves become interchangeable to Andre Pavlik's left, and the defense really didn't know what to do. And in this situation, on that particular goal, Patrick Kane comes off the half boards a little bit higher in the offensive zone, and Grant Klitsam, the Jets forward on the top of the box in the penalty kill, ended up following the defenseman at the top of the blue line. So what happens is the box essentially rotates. Grant Klitsam is kind of caught in no man's land, and with Patrick Kane, he probably ought to have closed that gap a little bit quicker. Patrick Kane walks into that shot, rips it top corner. It's 1-0 Hawks. At the end of that period, the Jets really are, you know, lucky to come out of that period at a 1-0 deficit, because they really didn't touch the puck very much. The shots in the first period were 12-2 for Chicago. I think the shots in that period were indicative of who controlled the play. The Blackhawks were terrific. They won 68% of the draws, and the Jets obviously won 32% of the draws. But the puck control aspect of that period was clearly in the Blackhawks' end of the play, you know, the Jets' end of the play, as it may be. Going into the second period, you know, you're thinking, okay, is it going to be more of the same? What can the Jets do to come back against a team that's just so talented? And, you know, it didn't start off well. The Blackhawks got a goal on 4-on-4 with Marian Hossa pressuring in the offensive zone. Olli Jokinen, who had a brutal game, didn't do anything out there. Olli Jokinen pressures Marian Hossa pressures Jokinen in the left corner of the offensive zone. Olli Jokinen doesn't put up much of a fight. Hossa picks his pocket, and Brandon Saad, who had a nice game, comes into the high slot on his off wing. Hossa gives him a quick pass. Saad, one-timer, top corner, 2-0. It's the Hawks' ability to control the play and also just to strike quickly. They get up 2-0, and you think, you know, you probably as a fan think, game's likely over. The Hawks are just dominating this game. But to the Jets' credit, they came back. Right after that, Brian Little, with his pressure, what happens there is he uses speed to create pressure. Nick Leddy and Brent Seabrook both go to Brian Little. And what happens is Seabrook realizes that both players went to the same guy. So Seabrook backs off. But when Seabrook backs off, Little curls and finds Andrew Ladd through the seam that Seabrook created by backing off. Ladd pops a goal. Through the seam, the puck comes. Ladd shoots, scores it on Crawford. 2-1. Huge goal. Because, you know, they talk a lot about, hockey coaches even talk a lot about the shift after a goal. Well, 3:03 into the second period was Brandon Saad's goal. 3:22 into the period was Ladd's goal. So only 19 seconds later. Right after that, a very similar goal. You saw the Winnipeg Jets get a goal from Dustin Buss, from Keaton Ellerbe. Almost the same play. Dustin Bufflin takes the puck in deep. Takes the puck at the top of the blue line, makes a cross-ice pass to Ellerbe, Keaton Ellerbe, a little bit higher than Ladd was the goal previous, but very similar spot. Ellerbe one-times the puck, and it's a goal that Corey Crawford should have. And if you're watching as an Olympic fan, you think, if Corey Crawford's going to be the Olympic goaltender, that's probably not the kind of goal I want to let him let in. But Keaton Ellerbe blasts it, hits a net, and he scored 2-0. Andrew Ladd also in that play had a nice zone entry, as they call it. Andrew Ladd was fighting off Jonathan Toews, got into the zone, made the pass to Buffalo, and made the pass to Ellerbe. So credit to Andrew Ladd. A goal and an assist within a minute of the Hawks taking a 2-0 lead. It's 2-all. It's, for all intents and purposes, a new game. But then you get back to what the skill level does. And halfway through that period, there's another 4-on-4, and the 4-on-4 unit was Kane, Toews, Keith, and Seabrook. And, I mean, I don't know if there is a better 4-on-4 unit in the National Hockey League. You know, they went up against, on the Jets' end, Enstrom and Ellerbe, Jokinen and Kane. That's a mismatch, it's a mismatch at every single spot. Every single player the Jets put out there is better than the player is better than the players the Jets put out there. And this was literally a game of a shift of people that were dominating the puck, and Toews has it on the boards, right corner of the offensive set. Keaton Ellerbe's in position, and this is one of the reasons why Keaton Ellerbe is available on waivers. Because Keaton Ellerbe tries to be over-aggressive. He leans too far onto Toews' right shoulder. Toews curls around Ellerbe. A beautiful play. He shifts his body weight, kind of like, you know, the older hockey fan would say, like Bobby Hull. Puts his arm out, angles Ellerbe away, curls towards the net. It's a nice shot. Didn't roof it, actually. Maybe you could say Pavlik should have had it based on the angle, but such a beautiful goal. He's kind of scored from a similar spot that he scored from in the gold medal game of Team Canada against the United States. 3-2 for the Hawks. You think, okay, Hawks are going to take over again. Well, there you go again. The Jets get a power play. Johnny Oduya went off for tripping to make it a 5-on-4. And the Hawks had some poor coverage and led to a Michael Roosevelt tripping penalty. 5-on-3. 33 seconds of 5-on-3 play. Right away, Dustin Byfuglien crashes the net. Ryan Little right in front of the net. Puck tosses out to Byfuglien. Gets a lucky bounce in the net. So Byfuglien was getting no bounce at the beginning of the year. The odds are looking his way. He's getting some bounces. 3-all, end of 2. And the Jets really are fortunate to be down, to be tied after 2 periods. The Hawks have been the better team for the majority of the 40 minutes, but that doesn't really matter. If you're the Jets, you're thinking, okay, you know, we've put the puck on net, we maybe got some lucky bounces, but at the end of the day, we're tied 3-all. The defending Stanley Cup champions were on home ice. Probably can't be playing better. Well, whatever that was, the Jets came out in the third period, and there was no performance. There was very little compete. Very little pushback, as a coach like to say. And in reality, that's just resiliency. And that's confidence. The Jets look like a team lacking confidence, look like a team that couldn't do anything. Look like a team that, if they didn't have Brian Little's line out there, what are you going to do? Devin Setoguchi was benched for a portion of the third period. Mark Scheifele looks out of place as much as ever. And the Jets just didn't look good. And the Hawks took advantage. Talk again about the Hawks, you're talking about dominant talent, and Jonathan Toews takes a pass in the third period. Jonathan Toews takes a pass in the neutral zone, curls down the right side of the wing, good speed, good puck handler, makes a gorgeous backhand saucer pass across the ice to Marian Hossa on a strong side. Hossa takes the puck, moves it 4-3. The crowd oohs and ahs at that goal, just as they did at the earlier Jonathan Toews goal. Because Toews, not only being a hometown boy, but just such a supremely talented player, can be dominant so quickly. And the Hawks, as I said earlier in the podcast, they can control the puck, but they can also quick strike, and that was a quick strike play. When you look at the fifth goal, and that's the Hawks making a 5-3 and for, you know, essentially finishing this game, the Jets' defensive zone coverage is absolutely awful. There's no other word to describe it. You have Grant Clifton and Zach Redmond going at the same player. You have Mark Scheifele blowing his coverage in the defensive zone. Where do you start with the awful coverage on that play? Ben Smith scored the goal. I thought the Hawks' fourth line played a strong game. Ben Smith on that fourth line. But the goal is reprehensible as far as I'm concerned in terms of defensive coverage. There's a reason that the guys on the team, you know, have been playing so poorly, and one of the reasons is they're just not seeing the game well enough. That play was preventable by every stretch of the imagination. Jets get down 5-3. The Jets team essentially throws in the towel at that point. There was nothing after that, really. Dustin Byfuglien took a chance or two, but aside from that, nothing. The fans are essentially out of it. They're not essentially, they're out of it. And then it's 5-3. The Hawks eventually put up an empty netter, and it's 6-3, and the game's over. The Jets have played the Hawks 3 times. The Hawks have handled them 3 times quite easily, and I think it shows fans how far away the Jets are from really being a top echelon team, because the Hawks are one, and they play like one, and for periods of time where they don't, you might get close, but when they want to, they turn it back on. That's what happened tonight. Hawks were the better team, probably 45 to 50 minutes of tonight's game, deserved the win, and got the win. You've been listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast. We'll be back Saturday for the post-game podcast. The Wild are in town. They play 2 o'clock on Saturday. It's a TSN Jets game. It's not a Saturday Hockey Night in Canada game for listeners, just so you're aware. And because of the afternoon game, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Saturday will begin at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. through 11. So looking forward to that. It's kind of been interesting to be solo tonight. I appreciate you listening, and look forward to hopefully you listening, tuning in both on the radio and the podcast on Saturday.